couldn't scare a retarded hobo with that thing, literally.
This is a Remington 870.
Yeah, that's telling. You're holding a gun. I say I'm not afraid, so you describe the gun to me. It's not the gun I'm not afraid of. What are you gonna do? Shoot in the air? Try to scare me? Go ahead. You wouldn't let me die. You're not gonna kill me.
Well, so now I saved your life? That makes me weak?
Look, I'm not a threat to you or your boy. I need to be on your property. I'd rather there's no contact at all. I'm gonna stay in the fields. It's just one thing I need you to do, and you'll never have to deal with me again. Just verify for me this is your house on the map, so I know I'm in the right place.
What's this?
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze, country roads.
All right.
So, hi and welcome to the Only Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
Douglas is running for education.
Yes. Really? Like, what kind of education?
He's running from, I'm sorry, Douglas is running from education.
Oh. I'm sorry, my question still stands. What kind of education is
any
he running
kind.
From? Any kind.
The learning kind.
The goodly kind.
You're so bad at English. Andrew Robinson. We talk about movies on this podcast.
Do we?
Well, I don't know based on some of the bangers that we've been talking about.
Can we go back to reviewed Bonner movie? You know what? No, never mind. It's not going to work. Yeah, we review movies. Sometimes we talk about TV shows. Like, we just ramble on until Andrew says, "All right, that's enough.
Get out. Let's
some of them are stop talking. Shut up." Speaking of talking, Andrew Robinson, you made us watch a movie that my uncle would describe as a crying movie.
A crying movie?
He's a simple man with simple rules. There are action movies, and then everything that isn't an action movie is a crime.
So what did he tell you every time you sat down to watch a Meryl Streep film?
No, again, he's a simple man. So if it is not an action movie, he stares at it, realizes quickly there's no action to be had, and says this is a crime movie and walks out.
So you're saying every argument that we have had with you in the past forever is his fault.
He was the one that took a young child, sat him in front of a TV, pointed and said, "Rambo." And that was it. That was it. Went, "Oh yes, Rambo. This is how I will live my life from now on."
Anyways, this week, I have asked you guys to watch and for us to talk about the new Xavier Dolan film, Tom at the Farm.
Sounds like a film.
Notre ami, notre frère.
Allô?
On peut se dire, ah, il est parti, c'est injuste.
This sounds like
a children's
We could turn this into the children's story version. The story that that Tom will tell all of his children.
It's pretty good.
A gentleman Tom appears at his recently deceased boyfriend's home. For the funeral of said boyfriend, and wants to pay his respects and grieve. However, he discovers that no one at this home knows that his boyfriend was gay, really. And the people who do know are trying really hard to make sure certain people never find
no
out.
No one else finds out.
So this becomes...
I mean, that's not a spoiler. Let's not... I mean, what you're doing. He goes to the house of his boyfriend's mother and brother. And the deceased brother does not, under any circumstance, want him to tell the mother that her son was gay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, yeah, we don't have to talk around. That's not a spoiler.
Yeah. The rest of the film follows Tom's experience over the next few days trying to exist, I guess is the word, in this environment as he becomes more and more into the family, and especially Francis, the brother who's trying really hard to make sure that the mother never finds out about any of these things.
Do not. In any circumstance.
This movie is strange, and I say that having seen a few of this guy's movies, because this one, I think it's the first one I've seen where it's like a straight up thriller in any sense, where you have this almost psychological effect happening throughout the movie. And I want to claim that I feel that one of the factors that made me not like this movie as much as I wanted to.
Wait, sorry, what? I'm just
pull back. Made me mm-hmm. not like this mm-hmm. movie as much as I wanted
okay.
to.
I don't like it one more time.
That doesn't mean I didn't like the movie.
So let me get this straight. You go into movies pre-liking the movie. And then
okay, no,
walk
I wasn't
it
making
backwards.
Fun of him. I was just
no.
I was just
right, you're just happy that he said that he didn't like the movie. But I have a real issue here. We're supposed to be professionals.
Right? Chris Nolan's new movie is coming out next week.
Right. And I judge it on its merit.
Are you sure?
I don't go in sure? assuming the movie is a 12 and walk backwards. That would be unprofessional of me.
Of course.
Right?
Are you certain?
Now if you said The Raid 3 is coming out, that is a different story, because that's barely a movie.
Anyways, one of the things is that I think my subtitles were completely out of whack with this movie. Like, there were some parts...
You don't speak French
anything? Sadly, I didn't learn French when I was in high school.
What
I did, do Spanish.
Did you learn at high
school? Oh, what did I actually
yeah,
learn?
Yeah, what did you learn?
I learned how to lie. So that when people ask me, do I know anything, I can say yes confidently mm-hmm. and in a manner that most people might believe. Mm-hmm. Like, Damien, you know better, so you know not to believe anything I say.
That is true.
Right? But for the rest of the world...
fair point. Right?
Namely my employers. The thing about this movie is that it's kind of strange, right? It's not just the fact that we're having this story of of someone is a funeral is happening and he's trying his best not to let the secret out or anything like that. And you just have these really interesting, deep, dramatic, grieving moments where you're kind of just enthralled with these characters. It's not just that. It's also this weird psychological element, which I couldn't quite put my finger on. Because I found it kind of strange to see this arc for Tom. Like, the way his relationship to this family shifted throughout the movie. It opens up with him just appearing at a house. He kind of just walks in. We don't know what's going on. And it's not so much apprehensive when you hear the family come in, but there's that question. There's like, who the hell are you? Right? And slowly but surely, everything is fine. But then you realize when Francis confronts him, because Francis knows who the frig he is, right? You're like, something is, like, you're put on hold, just kind of like how Tom is. You're kind of put aback. But slowly but surely, you see Tom almost kind of start to like how this relationship is going. He starts, and I'm not quite certain whether there's some weird kind of trance-like thing going on between Francis, the family, just this weekend, or whatever it is. But there was something I felt there that I'm not quite certain of, and I'm interested to find out more about that. One of the things I loved when it came to Francis and the introduction of Francis is at first, for the first, you don't see him for like the first 5 minutes or so until he just kind of jumps on him in the dark. And you don't actually see him, you don't actually see his face till like minute 15 or so. And there's a point where Tom has a dream. And you already figured out based on like the voice that this is the same guy who we've been just seeing shrouded in darkness for this time in the movie. And he comes at him and he sees his face kind of all disfigured because obviously Tom hasn't seen him yet. And I was wondering at a point if we would never see his face and kind of how kind of cool that would be if they could figure out a way to do that without making it feel strange. But it was cool anyways for like that first 15 minutes or so of the movie, kind of playing on what was becoming a big fear for Tom, this big guy who he's only heard of in the first few minutes, where he's like, yeah, he works on the farm, right, and he's his brother. And the small interactions he's had with him, where, as I said, he jumps on him in the night to be like, look, none of that, right? There's another time afterwards where they're in the barn or something, and to us, his face is kind of covered in a shadow, and he's kind of telling him something about, like, rules or, like, what he expects and how he's trying to make sure his mother is always happy. And it becomes a figure of fright at that point in time. Cut forward to, like, another 45 minutes into the movie, there's this relationship happening between him and Francis. Tom becomes someone who's at the farm and producing at the farm. He's helping out. He's going around town. Everything seems kind of okay, except to us who is seeing Francis being straight up violent, right? It's kind of interesting how throughout this movie, sometimes you'd see the actual action occur, but for the most part, you would just see like a bruise here and there on Tom, and you'd understand that something has happened, but Tom would always be like, no, it's fine. Right, I fell, right? And it's something, as I said, I haven't quite put my finger on exactly what's going on with how that relationship shifts up and down throughout the movie. But I think it's really interesting. And on top of everything else, the one thing that I can say unequivocally, all of this guy's movies that I've seen, I think this is the fourth that I've seen so far, I just love the way he presents movies. He has this strange kinetic energy to the way that his movies are cut together. And even just some dialogue moments, right? There's always these bursts of emotions in ways that I don't think many filmmakers get right these days. There are a lot of Oscar-baity movies where they try really hard to do what this guy does in just having performances work. And I kind of love what he does with his performances in this movie. Even for a movie where we're having, as I said, this shrouded figure of fright who's just almost one note to a fault throughout most of the movie. Yeah, I think it's a really interesting movie and something that people really should go out and try and watch. Douglas, would you like to begin the Xavier Dolan hate fest?
Sure. So, Andrew, and Damon, I'm sure. Because I can hear what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He's like, John Wick wasn't in this movie. Exactly. I don't know what Andrew's talking about. Exactly. This is a crying movie.
But you're thinking, you watched this movie wrong.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because that movie that you presented, that movie isn't what happened. Let me tell you what happened. Mm-hmm. This movie isn't about a family that lost a son. So this is a movie about a cult.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. These people have indoctrinated themselves with some sort of ethos, and one part of the cult, of the you know, the way they do things,
uh-huh,
is that it's very much a zero sum game. If one member of the cult passes,
uh-huh,
you must then induct another member.
Right. I think they call themselves cult people.
Yes. Right?
Cult people.
The people of the cult. And it is clear that Tom is that guy. You see that funeral in the first part of this movie? Andrew thought it was not a funeral.
Oh.
That was an induction. Right? Man. That was a way to say goodbye to the one that has passed,
and to
introduce, to bring into the fold,
and now
the new one, right?
Introducing.
You even noticed that there was somebody trying to get in. That other person right, really wanted to be a part of the cult, but they said, no, we found our guy already. We're going to groom him.
No doubt.
And as you said, Andrew, they slowly, as cults do, brainwashed Tom, because at a certain point, Tom was 100% down.
He was in it.
He was in it. He's like, you are my brother, you are my mother. We are a part of this cult. And I remember, so it may be an issue with our subtitles, because as Andrew said, our subtitles had some
You
some
also issues. Don't speak French?
I do not speak French. But there was a point where...
Damon, had you gotten the French translator at this point into your base?
Not yet.
Okay. I'm waiting.
But there was a point where I can't remember who said it. Either it was a mother or it was an older brother who actually referred to Tom as Francis's brother. And I was... That's where it cemented that view for me. I'm like, this is a cult... but on a serious note, this movie is not. This movie, Andrew. It's pretty. Don't get me wrong.
We'll have to stop doing that.
But, 2015. Damien, what else am I supposed to do? I don't want the man feel like this movie is useless.
First of all, I want to ask two questions. I want to ask two questions and then I'll lie down in the corner and cry away as you guys go on. Right. Number one, Douglas, did you like Mommy?
Good Lord. Not really. I think it was... So, okay.
So, I think that's what this podcast is from now.
So, okay. I think Mommy and this movie share some certain traits in the sense that there is something there that could be exploited. I think Mommy failed for a different reason than this movie. I think Mommy failed for me because I thought that the presentation was much too distracting.
Mm-hmm.
Right, this whole vertical long screen rather than widescreen, almost like it was filmed on a cell phone, was real distracting. And there were moments that were great in that movie, as were in this one. You know,
I actually noticed he was playing with aspect ratio in this movie as well.
I actually didn't notice that, but that might have been because I got on the FTM train real quick with this movie.
So you touched the conductor. Right? I need to speak to the driver. No, sir, have a seat. No. I need to drive this train.
With this movie, I don't know. Perhaps the subtitles affected it. I don't think so, and I don't want to blame it on something so dumb, so little, so small. And, you know, it's not even something that I can actually explain or touch or talk about, because it's just more that I watched this movie and my spirit just never took to it.
Don't ever say that. No, I refuse. Don't talk like that, Douglas.
Because, I mean, and a part of it also has to probably do with me watching this movie and not understanding certain aspects of it. You know, why would this person do this, go down this road,
okay.
Right? And it just, so once there's that trigger point, that fork in the road where you say, okay, you're a reasonable human being. You're going to choose right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they choose left and you're like, hold on, what? Everything after that, you're just kind of discombobulated. You're just kind of, hold on. So why did you do that? And then at a certain point, exactly, all of this could have been avoided. And then at a certain point, they decide, oh, you know what? I want to take that right fork.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, fuck you. You're too late.
No doubt. You done it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that may have been a problem for me. I don't want to say intellectually, but in terms of spiritually, yes. My religious relation with this movie.
Politically. Just picking other is for you to diss this movie with.
Hell is going on. Yes, Andrew. My beard tingled when I watched this
went,
movie.
No, yes. My eyelash said not having it.
Optically.
Idiots.
semantically?
I'm going to stop talking to Andrew as well. I'm going to do... Douglas really does not like this movie. I am not. Like, I didn't go all the way down.
You didn't take the left turn.
Did not go all the way down. Like, I sat at the back of the train while Douglas drove it off a cliff. Douglas,
you
the
tried
movie.
To jump out, but
the movie.
Doors.
Yes. This movie isn't exciting.
Mm-hmm. It's a crime movie.
And it is a crime movie. And when you look at where the movie starts and what happens at the end, there's a journey, but it's a dumb one. Mm-hmm. The decisions made by this person is nonsensical. But there are aspects of the movie I like and were mm-hmm. intrigued by. You see where he is in a situation where he's in mourning. His boyfriend died. And so he would have wanted to spend some time with people who were also going to mourn alongside him. Clearly none of his friends gave a shit, which is why he went down there. And which is, that kind of explains why he would be willing to stay with the family. No, it doesn't explain all of the madness. But at least it that is what I'm saying to myself. The movie didn't tell us this. That's just the justification I was going
you
on.
You realize he pulled a cow from another cow's vagina.
I'm going
right?
to accept that he just wanted to spend time with the brother of his dead lover. Alright? He
whose
reminded
first,
him.
Whose first introduction was introduction by assault.
I mean, that is how I
by
introduced.
Attack.
When people stay in my home, that is how I introduce myself. To lay down the ground rules while everyone's sleeping. Don't start none, won't be none. it must be horrifying to know that the person that you love, both you and the person that you love, have to hide that side of themselves from the other people that should love them. Mm-hmm. So he is in this weird position where he can't be, you know, he can't fully come to terms with everything because he still has to hide this part of himself from these people. And you see where he being, I mean, he is a wimp. He's like the dictionary definition of a weak person. The brother like instantly overpowers him. Now, while the brother should be able to do that with most people, like he... Like
oh,
he instantly crumbled.
Fairly
right.
big dude. He's not. Right. He's not the you know beefiest
right.
of the
but
beef. But
when you
but,
see
yeah.
when later in the movie, when a girl is introduced, she doesn't instantly crumble like he instantly crumbled. She's like, "Hey guy, if you do that again, look, knife, murder you." And watching him, you know, try to deal with the situation, but where the movie fails is. It doesn't explain itself at all. It's just a
yeah.
series of things that happens.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, it's like, how about we tell you a story that should put all of this madness that has happened? You know, it should tie this up kind of neatly. I'm going to have you talk to a bartender because everyone knows. They know everything.
Yeah, they do.
And the bartender is going
to give Damien bills.
It's going to... pass on some information that you, oh, right, that's what this movie's been trying to say the entire time. But when it gets here, you're like, you know what movie? No. No, this yep. scene doesn't make any sense. Just like the other scenes. It's just a group of scenes. And then the movie goes, all right, that's, we've had enough of this. And it's so, like, Douglas was being overly harsh earlier when he's like, all I can say about this movie is that it looks good. Because then, fucking what? But he's like, the story collapses and there's nothing else in the movie. It's a story being told.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the part of the movie that is weak. So Douglas is right to just go, you know what movie? I'm driving this train. But watching the lead guy's performance.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
He,
yeah.
I mean.
I think everybody in this movie
did their job.
Yeah, yeah.
Again,
hold on, Damon. Mm-hmm. I remember earlier somebody was telling me I couldn't do that. Uh-huh. We didn't do this anymore.
Yeah. no, the reason I'm saying it is that
watching them perform is like watching him being awkward and slowly accepting this madness. That is the thing that kept my interest. But then when the movie was over, I went, yeah. Oh, all he did was waste my time.
Yeah, exactly. So
it, when the while the movie was going on, I was there. I'm like, all right, let's take me on this ride movie. And when the movie ended, I'm like, oh, this is like the worst. You look back and you're like, oh, there's a car wreck. And I moved two spaces. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yep. I have to say, there were two things that I kind of liked about this movie. One, I really like the reveal about the boyfriend. That was great. And two, I really liked for a long stretch of time, sort of a cult thing I kind of came up with, because not only are these guys just super odd and violent and holy shit, what are these people? But also, it's clear that nobody likes them. This whole town has ostracized them in one way or another.
They seem like lunatics.
And every time Tom goes anywhere and mentions their name, all of a sudden things get awkward. And the person's like, you're
who now?
You staying with them?
Probably okay, shouldn't do that.
Please get out of
you
my office.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't.
Right? Idea. So I like that.
We don't want to get murdered in the corn.
You're right, exactly. so that
the
was
children of
that
the
was kind of good, but then as you said, nothing really gets explained, and there is a point when a piece of that is at least attempted to be explained, and it just does not
the movie,
measure up to where it needs to be.
Like the movie needed. Like, the story needed help. Like, I don't understand what is happening.
It's because you don't speak French.
I'm fluent. Fluent in French. German, not so much. English, possible. The movie just it doesn't. And it's not a situation where it is trying to. I think that is the part that annoyed me the most. It's not like, oh, it's trying to tell a story, but in its attempts, it is where it is falling down. No, the movie is just, this is the story, and now it is over, and they bow and walk on. What? You just like, I don't, none of this. And like, understand what you're trying to tell, but you don't explain why any of this shit happens, and now you're just done, and I'm just sitting here 2 hours later, or 45 minutes later, going, what? Why? What just happened? And I don't like that. Not in this movie. Like, there's nothing else. There's just nothing else in the movie except the story. And it falls to pieces. And ends badly.
Well, there was one good thing about it.
There's
the
a dance scene. I like that. In the barn. So creepy.
Yeah, but no. To be fair with them, though, the end of the movie did have one bright spot. And that was the song that they played.
All right. Andrew Robinson.
I did not like that song. I did
nope.
like that song.
Don't movie. Encourage him.
And it introduced Andrew to Rufus Wainwright.
God damn.
Who's Rufus Wainwright, Douglas?
I honestly don't really know him. I know the name and I know people love him and I've listened to some of his music. I don't know.
You don't know.
Everybody come quick. Something's happened. No time to explain.
You like Southpaw. Let's talk about Southpaw.
I did like Southpaw.
Right.
And I enjoy that movie.
It's really good. Did this lunatic like it?
He hasn't watched it yet.
Why? Why not?
But Damien, are you in agreement with me that I'm betting he won't like it?
Yeah. Douglas.
He doesn't like those movies.
Yeah.
Because they don't offer him anything. They're just the same.
So what you're saying is that while I'm watching it, my beard will tingle.
His beard will tingle.
Yeah, and you'll call and make a reservation for the train.
He won't have anything to officially complain about. Like, when he comes here and talks about it, he'll be like, I didn't like...
I like Jake Gyllenhaal a lot. But there's 50... Like, this movie is so good that despite a significant amount of Mr. Scent being in this movie, the movie outweighed. He's bad. Can people just accept that 50 Cent is bad at everything? Rapping.
whatever else he does.
All right, Damien.
He's bad
Damien.
At making what he fucked Damien. Up water.
Damien.
So bad he is.
Here lies the real question. Which one is worse?
Mm-hmm.
50 Cent as an actor mm-hmm. in this movie or Eminem's song Phenomenal?
Is that a bad song?
You're a
I like the part of that song in the all trailer. Right. Is all the rest right. of it bad?
All right.
50 Cent.
just on principle. Just so that I can get rid of him. The sliver of hope that I can get rid of him from movies by saying this to the two people that listen to this.
But he was in Spy though.
It's, yeah. Whoa. And he was bad there too.
But,
Spy is incredible. Like, they limited him to, like, a scene and a, not
he
barely.
He was the only good thing about that movie.
I'm going to stab okay. you in the face.
Okay.
I mean, he drove off on a, like, he sped away on a lake at the end, right? And they're like, you think he knows it's a lake? And then they kind of continue the scene, and then you hear him scream. And it's the lake.
I can't wait for that.
God damn it. I need to pre-order that.
I need to watch it without Douglas beside me. Because it was an Ant-Man story all over again. Good. Douglas was just leering at me the whole time.
That movie's incredible. But we need to get rid of 50. Like, we need to do something. Douglas, he is... Like, it is as if he's trying to ruin the movie.
Damien, I have a plan. I have an idea that might work for us. Mm-hmm. You know how he's going through all of this bankruptcy thing right now? Mm-hmm. We know it's bullshit, but he's going through bankruptcy right now. I think what might help is if we make him not bankrupt, mm-hmm. but like the super opposite of it, mm-hmm. where we make him super wealthy to the point where he doesn't have to do anything. I think he might not work anymore and he'll just stay at home.
I think he just like, loves ruining things people of. Vitamin water, have you tried that shit? Oh, god damn it.
No, I don't think
he ruined shoes. He ruined clothing. Now he's ruining movies. He's a great destroyer. He's really bad. But Jake Gyllenhaal saves the movie. And Forest Whitaker. He is reserved. I haven't seen him play a role like this. He's just a dude. Not like a dude, but there's no but. Just a dude. I haven't seen him play that role in like 1,000 years.
He's last always time I saw him like that crazy was person. His cameo bit in that movie that I love, The Color of Money, mm-hmm. where he kind of just pops up for one scene where he's the hustler.
Right. And you're just like, that guy. Not anything else. He's just dude. Like, good. And the rest, like, you've seen boxing movies, right? It's one more of those. It's well made if you ignore the 50 Cent.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I like Rocky.
It's not Rocky.
I like The Warrior.
Then you might like this.
I love The Warrior. Warrior was like one of my favorite movies.
I like it. I like that movie a lot. Alright. That's not what we do on this podcast. Plus, super can't afford the rights to that. Although, that should be public domain by now, right? Like, once a song is too big. They should just stop paying royalties to the person.
Like, okay, right. You've made $1 billion.
Right.
You get no more.
If you hit, right. So if you hit like a billion views on YouTube, you just it's just public domain. So like shitty songs like Gangnam Style and all of that shit, you know, throw all of that. But everyone knows this. You can't get any more. This is like public property. You're ruining lives. This is what you're doing.
Damien,
yes.
Do you know what happened locally this week? They released Inherent Vice into the theater.
Sorry, that movie came out like a million years ago.
Correct.
Yes.
Like, didn't it come out last year?
In the US.
Damien, it's already on Blu-ray.
No, I know that. But I'm fairly certain.
No, we didn't get to see it last year, no.
Yeah, it came out last year, like December last year.
Yeah, it came out late last year. Mm-hmm. It's like it's September.
September? Was it that early?
No, September now.
Oh, yeah.
Giving them the benefit of the doubt, they're 4 months off. That's bad.
So, Damien, herein lies a question that I'm really curious about. Mm-hmm. Do you think that it's A, what you're really saying is that they're bad, and it's that late? Or do you think B, someone in the office decided they really like this movie and they never played it, so they won't play it anyways?
I think what's happening is like there's someone in the office that likes our kind of movies, and the other people keep pointing at them and go, yeah, but they don't make any money. And so this is like they're just putting it out to spite the other person, because they know they're going to release it for like 3 days. They'll sell a ticket. And you're like, see, this is why we don't do this. While the person is screaming, you should have put it out months ago. And you're like, no, you're wrong. It made $600.
I don't think a ticket costs that little anymore.
No, I think that's what Karen makes. This is bad.
Damien, we could have another private screening.
I want... Have you gone?
No, I haven't gone. Cam? And he hasn't actually seen the movie
I yet. I need to check. To see. Yeah, we should probably go tomorrow. Can we go tomorrow?
Maybe. Yeah. We'll see.
The three of us.
It's probably a 5 o'clock movie.
Yeah, it's only 5.
Yeah.
But we have to check in the morning because I think they took it off for the weekend. I have... Well, I think... Actually, on
of
the website...
Of course they did. Of course. Why would they? Why wouldn't they? They're fans of money.
Schedules, weekly schedules.
That crazy that movie about
oh no, it's back there tomorrow.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
At 5 only well, 5?
At 5.
Yeah. But as I was about to say, on Wednesday that movie about the crazy guy comes out with
the perfect guy.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure, first of all, that's the only movie that comes out. And I'm pretty sure it's because they know that is geared for this market,
mm-hmm.
and it will probably play in all 5 theaters. They'll just be like, it's fine.
No, they'll still have a single showing straight out of Compton.
Okay, fine.
Straight out of Compton.
Should go watch a movie again.
Crazy motherfucker like Ice Cube.
That fucking movie.
God, I love that movie.
Why?
The movie so much.
Why?
Because I expected it to be so bad. I think it's the Lego movie thing happening to me all over again.
Did you
finally watch a Lego movie again and realize that it wasn't good?
Douglas,
that movie is amazing.
I love that movie so hard.
Damn,
Douglas, I have Blu-ray.
Oh.
Lego movie. It is incorrect. That movie is like a 12. Four. I'm angry how much I like that movie. I think it's better than almost every other Pixar. Because when I think back, like, it is the thinking back to what I thought the movie was going. When I heard that it was going
words
to... You hear Lego and movie go, what? Hollywood, just stop. Just burn it down. We don't want any more movies.
So, okay, question, Damien. Now that this has occurred to you with Lego Movie, and with
Compton.
This experience
Jesus.
Of like, Lego Movie, like
I
Compton
knew,
not so much.
I knew the straight out of Compton movie was going to be bad.
Because
like,
Compton...
knew in my heart that movie didn't have a shot. What? Ice Cube's son? Let's be serious.
So Damien, when this happens to you, now that you hear shit like the Monopoly movie, do you then,
I heard
go,
that.
Do
I
you
heard
then
that.
Go like...
Mm-mm.
Maybe.
No.
Are you going to go...
There's no maybe.
Damien, are you going to go back and watch Battleship?
No. I saw enough of
that. You sunk my Battleship.
I saw enough of it.
Did they actually
like,
say that?
They did.
When,
like, I kind of like that movie for how dumb it is.
When I heard...
Channing Tatum was in that one, right?
No,
it was
okay,
the guy from season 2 of... Taylor Kitsch? Is
yeah.
Name? Yeah, him.
And
Rye Hanna, yes.
Is Taylor Kitsch, is that Virginia?
Yes.
Yes.
Virginia.
his career, he got his shot, and he
hey,
is never going to get shot again.
You never know. True Detective might put him back on the map.
I mean, it was TV that put him up there.
Like
in the first
everyone
place.
Hates True Detective season 2, though.
No, to be fair, I think
at least
I
was reading. Yeah.
I hope that people take the time to reevaluate and think to themselves and realize what actually happened. And it's very simple. And I had to explain this to the youngster this morning when he was telling me about how much he hated.
Of course.
Right? I said to him, Nicholas, here is your problem. If that show was called Lying Detective season one, mm-hmm. you'd have been like, yeah, that was alright.
Uh-huh.
But because it was True Detective season two, it straight up started and you just said, that's not season
Kerry
one.
Kerry Fukunaga had nothing to do with this.
He's been saying that to himself.
Of course,
yeah. Of course I have. Because I
that complaint.
I recorded the podcast with him.
Yes.
He's been saying to himself, how dare they call this True Detective season mm-hmm. two? These fuckers want to fuck with my memory of True Detective.
I am saying these things that I'm saying to you, to myself, to try and make myself watch it again. Because I need to watch it again. Because my main problem with it wasn't necessarily that it wasn't True Detective Season 1. Though, exactly. Though there were some expectations and definitely they were not met. But my main problem with it, which Damian has told me goes away if you watch it differently.
If you watch it properly.
Is that for the first few episodes, I was...
What is happening?
I was so confused. So,
not a show.
To the extent that by the end of the season, as I put,
I don't care.
Things haven't happened yet.
This is madness. when the first season of True Detective was announced, there's a couple of podcasters I listened to, and all of them were like, McConaughey and Harrison are cops in the bayou. No, HBO. That is a step too far. But they forgot that Kerry Fukunaga's name was on it. So I was like, no. You guys are not focusing on the right bit. You see that director name? Anything at all. 100%. He's going to die being the best. And so when season one came on, it was awesome. I went, alright, yeah, of course. It was simple. I knew it was going to be good. When someone said to me, Damian, what if Kitch and Vaughn were in True Detective Season 2? I went, nope. You just fuck this whole thing up. I'm like, is Fukunaga coming back? They're like, mm-mm. I'm like, oh, so you guys are done. You made one good season. This is like a joke. This is a rap. And that, like, I really am more impressed with 2 than 1. Because my expectations going into 2, like, Kitch and Vaughn, no, sir. No, thank you. No, thank you. Okay. I know. I think Vince Vaughn is not just a actor again. He's like really good. Couldn't believe it. I thought I'd never see that. I was confident I was never going to see that again.
Damon, I don't understand you. Vince Vaughn has always been money. Always.
He was money for a couple of years. The intern.
Oh, but there was wedding crashers.
Yeah, but that was 1,000 years ago. And I don't love wedding crashers.
I know you don't, but I do, and mm-hmm. that's all that matters. And also,
I focus selectively.
Did you enjoy the breakup?
No, I did not. But I also pretend like I never watched
business.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The one from last year with Baby Franco.
Uh-huh.
And
I never watched that movie. Listen. I focus.
Did you enjoy those trailers?
Dave Franco.
To be fair, I did enjoy those trailers. No, those trailers are funny. I doubt that the movie
is like,
funny.
It's The Hangover, but with these dudes. And no.
Especially Baby Franco. I thought he was the best part of those trailers.
However, you seen the new Madden trailer?
No.
Have you seen? Oh my god.
Kevin Hart
is not bad.
Because, by the way, that's the only reason I watch anything that he's in.
Dog.
They looked
at last year's trailer and what happened, and they're like, what if we go bigger? it is 5 minutes of Luna.
Okay.
And it's incredible.
I think that means we have to end the podcast here.
Yeah. I think
I can go back to West Virginia.